Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Changing your face, your expectation. You mentioned about being accountable for what you know. Not in a bad way, but in a way that stokes your expectation. You know, sometimes I feel like as a body of Christ, we get lulled to sleep. We get used to hearing things a certain way. And we kind of get lulled to sleep and our expectation begins to go down. Imagine Sarah, she's what we would consider over the hill. And God says, you're going to have a baby. Her expectation wasn't along those lines. But he injected what his expectation was in the middle of that. And it was good that she got on board. You know, there's no telling what would happen if she hadn't have, but she got on board with it. And she changed her face. Remember how God called her on laughing? And she said, I didn't laugh. I mean, it's probably not real good to tell God who knows everything you're doing that you didn't do it. But she changed her face, and her face began to expect what he had said. And I wonder sometimes, you know, I told you a couple weeks ago, I don't have any slides today because I was pretty much gone all the whole time. But I do have some things I want to talk about, but I'm going to hold off on a lot of those till next week. But it was interesting that, you know, he talked about hope. He talked about changing or shifting your face of expectation. And I know we had presented that challenge a number of weeks back. You know, I know there's things in your life that you've kind of laid to the side because they haven't happened yet. Well, how many know Jesus hadn't come back yet either? And at one point in our lives, we said we believed he was gonna. And the longer that he doesn't, you know, we kind of seem to put that on the back burner too. But how many know the word says he's coming? So that should be an expectation that we have all of our whole life. And if you would allow me to, I'm going to just read some things out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and chapter 2. And I want to touch base on a couple of things, but it all has to do with shifting our expectation. You know, if I have a chance, maybe I'll tell you about a dream I had this morning. I'm starting to have more of these. And it's one of these deals where, you know, I woke up at, 6 something this morning. And I had my cell phone next to me, so I looked at my cell phone. Saw it was 6 something. I said, oh, I can squeeze out 10 more minutes. You'll have never done that, have you? My 10 minutes turned into an hour and 10 minutes. And I woke up realizing I had just had a dream from the Lord. Still trying to make some sense out of it, but we may get into some of those things today. But I'm going to start reading here in 1 Thessalonians in line with the thought process of changing or shifting your face of expectation. What does it look like when we as the people of God really function from His vantage point and His passion, His desires? Sometimes I think we kind of get lulled to sleep into our naturalism. You know what I mean when I say that? You know, our naturalism takes over and we just kind of live from that place. We think from that place. We live, act from that place. And we ask questions from that place. We react from that place. And the Word of God says that the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you. It's, number one, it says that He does. And then number two, it says that since He does, you're inside of Christ. Everybody say, I'm inside of Christ. Now say it like you mean it. I'm inside of Christ. There's a whole other life that is there that we're in the process of developing into. I'm going to start reading here in 1 Thessalonians 1. It says, from Paul and Silas, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. By the way, I was so proud of you guys. I heard the recording and, you know, the verse I had sent. I literally sent that like 10 minutes before service started in your time. It was 3 hours before where I was, but and he read it to you guys, and then he asked you what PT meant, and you guys said Passion Translation. I was like, yes. But anyway, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. From Paul, Silas, and Timothy, we send our greetings to you, the congregation of believers in Thessalonica, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God's delightful grace and peace rest upon you. Speaking of His presence, the power that accompanies that, and the oneness that is Him, rest upon you. We are granted to you. We are grateful to God for your lives, and we always pray for you. We remember God before you. We remember before our God the Father how you put your faith into practice and how your love motivated you to serve others, and how unrelenting is your hope-filled patience in the Lord Jesus Christ. The father-in-law spoke of hope last week. We're going to deal with the area, we're going to deal with this verse next week, in the area of developing a culture of service in our city. But I want to go on and move on and read. Dear brothers, in verse 4, and sisters, you're dearly loved by God, and we know that He has chosen you to be His very own. Our gospel came to you not merely in the form of words, but in mighty power infused with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. Surely you remember how we lived our lives transparent before you to encourage you. And you became followers of my example in the Lord's, and you received the word with the joy of the Holy Spirit, even though it resulted in tremendous trials, persecutions. Now you've become an example for all the believers to follow throughout the provinces of Greece. The message of the Lord has sounded out from you, not only in Greece, but its echoes have been heard in every place where people are hearing about your strong faith. We don't need to brag on you, for everyone tells the story of the kind of welcome you showed us when we first came to you. And everyone knows how wonderful you turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God. And now you eagerly expect His Son from heaven. Say, I eagerly expect His Son. Jesus the Deliverer, whom He raised from the dead and He rescued us from the coming wrath. He goes on to say in chapter 2, my dearly beloved sisters, it's obvious that our ministry among you has proven to be fruitful, though we've had suffered many things greatly in Philippi. And if you want to see where that took place, go back to Acts chapter 16 and chapter 17, and you'll see those things. Where we were shamefully mistreated, we were emboldened by faith in our God to fearlessly preach His wonderful gospel to you in spite of the incredible opposition. Our coming alongside you to encourage you was not out of some delusion or impure motive or an intention to mislead you. We have been approved by God to be those who preach the gospel. So our motivation to preach is not pleasing people, but pleasing God, who thoroughly examines our hearts. God is our witness that we came to encourage you. Everybody say encourage. We never came once using cunning compliments as a pretext for greed. You ever met somebody that did that? They threw compliments your way, but really they had an agenda behind the compliments. They were trying to steer you in a certain direction. How many know that's inauthentic community? And inauthentic community, there is none of that. When we compliment people, we actually mean it. We don't compliment them just to be able to steer them a certain direction. You know, I've heard people say, you know, that the technique of handling issues with people is the sandwich technique. Have you ever heard that compliment? You know, you hit them with a positive on the front end, then you deal with the issue, and then you hit them with a positive on the back end. I understand what we're trying to say there, but how many know that's really just self-preservation when we do that? That's all it is. And most of the time when we do that, the positive on the front end and the positive on the back end aren't really authentic. We slap them on there to protect us from getting punched or, you know, or whatever, based on the correction that came in the middle. So in the area of authentic community, we want to make sure that we really guard against one against the other of using, as he says here, Paul says, cunning compliments as a pretext for something else. He goes on to say in verse 7, even though we could have imposed upon you our demands as apostles of Christ, instead we showed you kindness and gentleness among you. We cared for you in the same way a nursing mother cares for her own children, with a mother's love and affection. Attachment to you, we were happy to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives, because you had become so dear to us. Beloved brothers and sisters, surely you remember how hard we labored among you. We worked night and day so that not to be a burden to you while we preached the wonderful gospel of God. Well, God as our witness, you saw how we lived among you in holiness and godly relationships. We'll get into that in the weeks to come. Without fault, and you know how affectionately we treated you, each one of you, just as a loving father cares for his children. So he likens his interaction with them as a loving mother and a loving father. It's interesting when he likens himself as a loving mother, how many know a mother is committed to their child? They're physically committed to their child. You understand what I mean by that? And then when he says we affectionately treated you as a father cares for his children, and he describes how a father is to care for his children, we comforted and encouraged you. How many know encouragement is a... He's mentioned encouragement a number of times in this letter already. We're not even through chapter 2 yet. It shows up a number of times in this letter. Encouragement is a part of authentic community. Everybody say that. Encouragement is a part of authentic community. So then he goes on to describe how a father is. And this is from the mindset of Father God. How many know Father God's qualified to speak on how a father is supposed to be? Amen? But he takes it and he brings it over into the field of the environment of godly relationships. He says, we comforted and encouraged you. We challenged you to adopt a lifestyle worthy of God. So there's comfort, there's encouragement, and there's challenge to constantly adopt and move further and further into a lifestyle that's worthy of representation of God into his kingdom and his glory. In another place, it says that he actually has invited you into his kingdom, and he's invited you into his glory. So, what is he speaking of? He's speaking of an environment where Authentic community includes being an encouragement without any false pretext one towards the other. By the way, how many have heard from your prayer partner? Don't be afraid to raise your hands. So, how many have contacted your prayer partner? Looks like you guys reap what you sowed. Good job. Just keep those things going. Keep developing in those relationships. And God will begin to show you things to specifically encourage the other person about that they may not even tell you, but the Spirit of God will show you. And you can pray those things out and He'll equip you. He's equipped you to encourage specifically. It's interesting, in this letter, it's the same where he mentions encouragement so many times. It's the same exact letter that he says, and make sure we don't despise prophecy. Because the remember what we said, the prophetic, the very foundation of the prophetic is what? Encouragement, you guys hear? To build up, to lift up, edify, and encourage, right? So that's the foundation of what the prophetic and where it functions from. So it's no wonder that he's encouraging them to continue to develop godly relationships. Obviously, from the letter so far, they don't have any challenges in these areas. He's encouraging them to continue to develop in these areas and allow God to take them further. But he says but notice also that along with the encouragement, there is challenge. How many know we should come to the place in our relationships one with the other? How many know the mindset of I'm okay, you're okay is immaturity? Let me say that again. The mindset of I'm okay, you're okay is immaturity. Because really it's really self-preservation. We're back to those words again. So much of what is inauthentic community is self-preservation. And there really isn't any room in the body of Christ for that. We should be able to encourage each other and be living such authentic lives before Him that when we go, you know, we're living such authentic lives vertically with Him that horizontally we should be able to bring challenge one towards the other. And because there's no hook in it, it will lift the other person to make adjustments and keep on going up. Right? It's amazing. I had this dream this morning, and none of you guys were in it, I'll just tell you right now, okay? The individuals that were in it, I don't even know who they were. But it was a scenario where I was talking to, it changed a number of times, but I was talking to 3 or 4 people. And I don't know where this came from, but I know it was the Lord, because I mean, you know, the devil doesn't give you things that encourage going up into Him farther. Someone was asking somebody else who was a supposed expert about what causes church growth. Well, that's a valid question. How many ever had that question? I'm the only honest person in the bunch. Okay, good. What causes church growth? But when they asked the question, they were in it was like the Spirit of the Lord showed me their motives. They were really asking their question to justify where they were. They really didn't want to know an answer. And an individual that began to speak, all that was coming out of him was just naturalism. Natural stuff. You know, and I found myself in the dream, and I would never do this. That's why I said none of you guys are in this dream. But I found myself going up there and just slapping him to wake him up. Because he was so into natural thought process that it was just garbage. And it shifted from there to the Spirit of the Lord said to me in the dream, you have no idea what power you have. And the next thing I knew, I was speaking words and they were happening. I don't know why this was, but you know, I'll put two and two together here. I must have been speaking something about insects or something, and ants began to show up everywhere. And it was kind of weird. Like, well, that's weird. But what I just now, this minute, realized, because here we think ants are a bad thing. But I just remembered, literally just a second ago, that when I was in Maui, we were going around looking at all the plants, and there was a nature expert. And he was telling us that there are no hummingbirds there, which I was kind of disappointed because I like those guys. But he said, what is it the bees do? Pollinate. Apparently ants do that there too. I had no idea. I didn't know ants did that. All I've ever seen ants do is carry stuff off and steal it from you. But apparently ants pollinate. So back to my dream. I was speaking something and ants began to come out everywhere. That was after the Spirit of the Lord spoke and said, you have no idea what kind of power you have. And he wasn't just speaking to me. He was speaking to everybody. And see, when we get naturalized, we forget that. The next thing I knew, I was standing in front of two individuals. Again, I don't know who they were. It wasn't anybody we know. And the Spirit of the Lord began to impress upon me the weight of His presence. And He began to talk to me and have me talk to them. It was a couple. It was actually two couples. About the weight of His presence. And I began to talk to the one over here, and it turns out that this individual was having an affair with this one's wife. And as soon as I began to address this husband and talk to him about whether he had a high consciousness of the presence of the Lord, and he began to give me all of the right answers. And I said, yeah, but He sees you when you are with her too. And when I said that, she fell on the floor, just in a heap, weeping. And I was reminded of the original question of what causes church growth. And you'll notice even in here in 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, and the answer is, you know, what causes church growth is you becoming depository is not really a word. You becoming a vessel, or you becoming a place where the presence of God, the manifested presence of God, can deposit. Can dwell. And I know we talk a lot about the power, we talk a lot about, you know, the glory and all of that, but I think you'll find this is true, and even in the book of Acts, if you go back in the book of Acts, what was it that caused the first century church to grow? It was the tangible manifestation of the presence of God in their midst, because He was inside of them. And a lot of times, you know, I know I'm all over the map here, but hopefully it'll make sense when I'm done. We get so naturalized in our thinking that we miss Him. And we haven't learned to facilitate His presence in our personal life. It's you learning and developing to facilitate His presence in your personal life that is going to cause any local church in the city to grow. When you go back to the book of Acts and you see what raised the respect and honor of the people around the local church in that city was because they were viewing the results of the presence of the Lord in their midst. When Ananias and Sapphira were uncovered by the Spirit of God for their deception. And I don't mean to say by any means, you know, giving the example of my dream or mentioning Ananias and Sapphira, that the way this local church will grow is you going out and just and uncovering everybody's dirt. I'm not saying that. Because most of the time, if we have not developed in being carriers of His presence, what's going to come out is going to hurt somebody anyway, so keep it closed. It's not your job to unveil people's sins. It's not your job to bring out the dirt. It's your job to bring out the gold. Right? The only way we would do those things is if we were highly developed in being carriers of His presence in our own personal life. So He wants to develop us in those areas. If you notice in Thessalonians here, His letter to the Thessalonican church, He said, one of the things that stands out, He says that your reputation goes before you on how you treat each other. And you have a very high reverence and expectation for the return of Jesus. In chapter 1, He says that they the message that came to them didn't just come in words, it came in power. And that they had become examples. They received the word of God and with the joy of the Lord, just like Paul did, and they followed the example of Paul and the Lord. But one of the things, again, he also said in chapter 2, along these lines, when he got done talking about the relationships, godly relationships. In verse 13, he says this in chapter 2. Again, this is in the Passion Translation. This is why we continually thank God for your lives, because you received our message wholeheartedly. Everybody say wholeheartedly. Say it again, wholeheartedly. You embraced it not as the fabrication of men, but as the Word of God. And because of that, the word continues to be an energizing force in you who are believing. In other words, they're putting something in motion. And we're going to get into that next week. But what I wanted you to notice is, and I want to kind of share with you some things that happened to me this last week. I went to a church in Maui. And on the outside, it was a great church. I mean, it was probably a great church inside, too. Love to have the property. Especially there. Y'all can come. But I'll tell you what happened is they had a... How many know when you go to church, you know, and there's always a special speaker? Never get to hear the pastor. There's always somebody new. So there was a special speaker, and, you know, it was an individual that I never heard of before. And so they begin to speak, and within a few minutes of their message, I leaned over to my wife and I asked her if this church was a certain brand of church, because I could tell. And she said, yep, it is. I said, that's what I thought. Anyway, so we got through the message. And we were texting back and forth. Hey, should we just get up and leave? And I said, no, it would not look very good if we just stood up and left. So we're gonna be supportive, and we're gonna stay put. And so now you can see all my naturalism coming out. So at the end of the message, the guy gives an altar call. Dear Jesus, half the congregation came up. I should have gone up. But I just sat back and I laughed and I said, and the Lord just said to me, you see what I pay attention to? I pay attention to the fruit. The message content is irrelevant. It's what I'm talking to them about. And I was like, that's just so you. And I remembered that Paul had said these things in 1 Thessalonians. What would happen as a culture in our church? We're talking about Best Life Church, not anybody else, but Best Life Church. What would happen in our culture if no matter where we went and where we sat, remember what he said here in chapter 2 and verse 13. He said, you embraced the message wholeheartedly, not as the fabrication of men, but as the Word of God. What if we as a culture, and it started with us as individuals in our personal lives, what if we could listen to someone, and it didn't matter what their title was, it didn't matter the shingle they hung around their neck, it didn't matter what denomination they came from, but we trained ourselves to recognize God, the God part of that message. Because what Paul's saying here is that's what we're supposed to develop and become. Authentic community can go anywhere, listen to anything, and you will be able to recognize any part of the finger of God that's in that message, you'll recognize it. He wants to bring his people to that place where they do that. Because there are no such thing as denominations. There are no such thing as camps in the body of Christ. There is only one thing, and that's the body of Christ, and we're all linked together. We don't have spacers between us. Because, you know, I'm a charismatic, and that other person on the other end of that elbow joint is a something else, so we have a spacer between them and us. No, there is no spacers. But we have to develop our personal lives to the place where we so house and facilitate the presence of God that when we come into the presence of anything else or anything else that is a part of his body, we recognize we don't live in our naturalized thinking. And how many have ever, I mean, it would have been easy for me in that message to sit in my seat and say, yeah, that's a good point. And no, that's pretty good. No, no. But the Spirit of God was speaking things from what was being said to the hearts of the hearers, and it's not, he does not pay attention to nearly what we've been told he pays attention to. The thing that Father is focused in on is fruit. He loves fruit. He loves people. So if we can develop our lifestyles as a culture to be able to recognize the God part of what people say and latch onto that, then we're growing up into the head. Do y'all understand what I mean when I say that? Because quite honestly, here going back to the original question in my dream, what is it that causes local churches to grow? What causes local churches to grow is everyone around us getting an opportunity to visualize the manifested presence from you into the culture. That's what, in these last days, that's what you're going to see. This is what the local church started with, and this is what the local church will end with. I'm not saying that anything else is wrong. We're not living under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so we're not talking about right or wrong. We are talking about the desire of the Spirit of God on what he wants to do and how he wants to do things. How many of there are a lot of folks out there in our city that do not know who he is? But as we learn how to develop in housing his presence and not getting stuck in our natural thinking of when someone doesn't say everything exactly the way we think it's supposed to be said, we turn our ears off, close our ears, and discount everything else that was said. He desires for us to be able to recognize him in every message and extract that, celebrate that. What happens when we do that is internally in our church? Not everybody that's going to come up here is going to speak everything exactly the way that I say things. You know, I know that I'm 100% right. Nobody needs to tell me that. But no, I'm just kidding. I really am kidding. Okay. But if we can develop a culture where we celebrate, we recognize the God part of everything that's being said and celebrate that, and nothing else matters. So we develop a culture of encouragement. We develop a culture of encouragement for no ulterior motives. But we also develop a culture that has a reverence for him. If we continue to read on in 2 Thessalonians, he talks a great deal about the lifestyle of holiness. And I know when I say that word, everybody runs for the door, because we've seen so much naturalization of what that's supposed to be, and it's all just a bunch of baloney. But, you know, Peter deals with the same thing. Isn't it interesting that Peter, in his letter to 1 Peter, we call 1 Peter, that he deals with the same issue of holiness coupled together with an expectation of the grace of God, the presence of God, and the power of God that associates with it? Because both of them are tied together. We've got to develop a culture, folks, that it matters how we speak to each other. It matters how we speak to our wives. It matters how we speak to our husbands. It matters how we speak to our coworkers. It matters how we speak to the guy in front of me, or the person in front of me, or the person beside me. Or it matters because we understand, first and foremost, how we started this entire series, that the biggest one in the room is him all the time. And I remember when I had this dream that the reason why the woman over here fell over in a heap when I spoke to her husband. And I said, but don't you realize that when you're having a relationship with her, that he's right there too? That a heaviness came upon me and I began to weep. It hit him the same way, and that's the reason she fell on the floor. It's because it hit her the same way and she realized where she was standing. I woke up. It was 7:30. I'm like, oh man, I got to get up. But see, the thing about it is when we realize and we develop a reverence for his presence, we don't have to try to live a holy life. We don't live a holy life because we're scared. We don't live a holy life because we're going through the motions and we look right, dress right, talk right. Any of that garbage that natural minds have tried to sell us. We just simply live in the arena of what he says is holy because we enjoy his presence and we reverence him and we don't want to hurt him. Are you with me here? We just don't want to hurt him. We value him. We would much rather enjoy his presence, his power, everything that comes with him than we would anything else. That's why your Bible says sin is for a season. It's only fun for a season. You know, this isn't really supposed to be one of those messages, but we're dealing with authentic community, and he's bringing us into a place of being authentic community. And I'm telling you, folks, that as you learn and develop in being I wish I could remember the word I had this morning. A vessel of His presence. When you go out and live life in public in their culture, you're going to bring the culture of the kingdom of God into that culture. And here's how you know that you are developing in these things, because that voice in you that says you're not qualified gets lesser and lesser. And then eventually it will go away. It'll stop speaking to you. The thing that's trying to disqualify you will go away. Because the one who has qualified you is the loudest voice in your head. So that when you get in the presence of people and you begin to speak to them what the Spirit of God gives you in the moment, you'll see them react the same way that I saw those people react in my dream. They'll come in contact with the presence of Him, and things will happen. They will begin. They'll literally be pulled out of their natural thinking, and they'll come awake. It's not a negative thing. They'll actually come awake and they'll run to Him further. But He came out. He came inside of you. He came. He was in. He's in you, and He came out of you. So the answer to our question, and believe me, in the days to come, the more that we develop in these things, and when I say we, I mean all of us, not me, not just me. This is how the local churches will grow. This is how Best Life Church will grow. The natural cities, the people in the cities, they really don't want anything else natural. They have so much natural, they'll puke it up. That's all they have. So when you, as a facilitator of the presence of God, develop in these things, and how do you develop in these things? You actually spend time with Him in your personal life, and you honor His presence when you could be doing something else. And He teaches you how to facilitate His presence in His presence. So that when you go out there, I mean, you look at the local church. How did it grow in the book of Acts? It grew by the thousands. I mean, instantly. I want to challenge you in your thought processes. And I know there's a mindset out there that doesn't want the local church to get any bigger than name a number. But I can tell you that's not the mentality of the Father of God. Or I should say the Father God. That's not his mentality. You say, how do you know that's not His mentality? Because what does he want more than anything else? Fruit. He wants fruit. He loves people. And He has designed the local church to be the place where people grow up into Him. There is no plan B. So having said that, I mean, we've come up with all kinds of reasons why churches don't grow, and, you know, leadership that or whatever. And I'm not discounting any of those, but if you look at the book of Acts, in what world is leadership good enough to handle a growth, an instant 5,000 people being added to the church? You're not trained in leadership that good to be able to handle that. Didn't seem to bother Him. What drew those people? His body letting His presence out. As I'm speaking these things, the presence of the Lord is really strong on me. That's how I know in these times when I have these messages, how I know what He endorses. And He really, really wants us to develop in these areas. It will be what brings authentic community. You say, well, where do I start? Start with the people you know. Start at your house by yourself with Him. Spend time with Him as if He's real, not just a figment of your imagination. Some people, you know, in our naturalization, what we do is we craft a shadow of Him, and then we merge ourselves into that. and we're comfortable hanging around with that. Because that is kind of a mini version of us, and it's good, it's comfortable. But how many know, when you're really in the presence of Him and it's 100%, your reaction to His presence will be, you'll be so in awe of Him, so aware that He's Him and you're you. But it's not that He's pointing out all your bad stuff. It's that He literally just overwhelms you with the magnitude of love that He is, that He just causes you to crumple and just be so overwhelmed. And it's because He's so good. He's just that good. He wants to flood our being with that goodness to where when you get around everyone else, you're so used to being in that environment that when you're in any other environment, you'll immediately pick up what He wants in that environment. And then when you speak those things, like He told me in the dream, you really have no idea how much power you have. When you begin to declare things out of your mouth, you have every expectation to expect them to come to pass. Not in theory, but in fact. So what happens in a culture when a culture of a local church develops to the place, like this church in Thessalonica, where your reputation goes before you, that when people hear about Best Life Church, they hear about people that are such strong facilitators of the presence of Him that it doesn't matter where you go, it's the most amazing thing to watch. They walk into the midst of any situation and they can turn chaos into the presence of God immediately. When people get in their midst and they're having chaos going on in their head because their life is falling apart, and immediately that individual will begin to speak. And it may start off with something familiar, but all of a sudden they find themselves over on the receiving end of a word from someone who could, the only one that could know them would be Him. And as a result of that, all of the chaos goes away. The veil is removed. They begin to see Him for who He really is, and they run to Him. What do you suppose the result of those kind of encounters with people out in life will be when it comes to the local church? I'm challenging you, and I'm going to close with this. I don't know when I started, but I think we've gone far enough. I'm challenging you with this. Don't allow smallness to set up shop in your head because you've adopted it as a comfortable place. Because Father needs you to be able to grow up into Him, to be able to facilitate and lead the thousands. Their lives are depending on it. And that's what He wants. If God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life, all of those whosoevers have to come into a body. Also, all those whosoevers have to have a mentor that can show them how to grow up into the presence of Him, just like you. Every one of them. So He's calling us to a higher place. He's calling us to a place where when we live so connected with Him, it's really a freeing place because you're so free from you. You're free from what people think. Paul said it in this letter to the Thessalonians. He said, the things that I said to you, I said it in His presence. I'm not saying things to please you. I'm saying things to make sure they're pleasing to Him. But on the flip side, you received everything we said, and you recognized the God of what we said. I'm so excited, guys, to see you guys developing these things because that really is where He's taking you. Whom the Son has set free is free. You can live life amongst anybody, anywhere. What's on them doesn't matter. It's not impressing you. I don't care if they're a witch. It's just not impressing you. it's natural thinking that gets freaked out about all the witches in this region. And I'm not delusional. I know the devil has power, but he's got nothing compared to Jesus. But we don't know that unless we learn how to live in his presence in our living rooms. But when you learn to live in his presence in your living room, when you step out into our culture, it doesn't matter what's beating somebody up, you're not impressed. And you fully expect that when you open your mouth, that you open your mouth and I'll fill it, will come to pass in your life. And as they experience the presence of God through you and in you on a more frequent basis, he'll then shift your role from being that of apostolic to now you'll shift over into the apostolic is about developing people too. So you'll move into that phase of growing people up to grow up into the same thing that he trained up you in, to house his presence. And that's how a local church will grow. And then the city will begin to call us and say, we have some major problems in our city. I hear that you guys pray for us. At which time you'll say, yeah, we do. Once a week we pray for each city's local governments. We call you out by name. They're going to be able to go to our website. They're going to be able to see their pictures on our website. And they're going to see that we're not a challenge to their authority. We're simply to come alongside of them, lift up their arms and be a blessing to them. Because we believe God is going to move them and give them supernatural wisdom. Keep in mind, a culture that understands that human beings are all wired the same. It's not us against them. If they're a human being, they were wired to experience living God in real time just like you are. They just don't have that connection yet. But that is our role, is to pray them into that connection. They'll begin to call us and ask us, you know, we have these issues. We haven't been able to come to a solution. Can you guys pray about it and let us know what you think? And so we'll do those things, and God will give us answers for the challenges that we have in our city. Do you understand that that is the role of a local church and local churches in the cities that they reside in? Do you understand that the reason why there is animosity between anybody and local churches is because for so long, most of what local churches viewed was nothing but a bunch of natural junk. Church people getting offended at natural people outside the church and vice versa. Now, I'm not saying there's not going to be persecution, because believe me, the Word says there will be. But we're not going to be the reason for it. Can you say amen to that? Up to this point, we've just been the reason for it. But those days are changing. Because you're a carrier of the presence of God. You can go ahead and stand up. You're a carrier of the presence of God. In fact, let's do this. This is unusual. I've never done this before, but everybody just go ahead. You guys can come up here to this one. Everybody just go ahead and line up here. We're going to utilize a point of contact. Everybody put your hands out like this. We're going to utilize a point of contact. And I'm not doing this because I'm a super-duper anointed man of God. I'm simply doing this because as a point of contact for you to recognize that the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, and those limbs that you have on the hanging out in front of you there with the five, what are they, phalanges? Those are actually conduits. And that you actually are empowered to be a facilitator of the presence of God through to somebody else. It's not true because somebody taught it. It's true because Jesus is at the right hand of Father. Did you hear what I said? And I would encourage you to just get in the habit of just, I know this is anti-culture, but just get in the habit of, you know, walking by somebody and putting that power-packed paw on them. And expect that while you're talking to them, the presence of God is flowing out of you into them. And will bring change into their life. I heard one minister call that a drive-by. Because they don't have any idea what you're doing. So you can go around town and you can begin to say hi to everybody. But your hands are anointed by the Spirit of God to transmit the presence of God into somebody else. Everybody you come in contact with, you can just simply touch them. Shake their hand. You know. Go up to him. How you doing, man? You're transmitting the presence of God right now. Did you know that? If we can lay hands on material, and the material is a receiver of the presence of Him, and we can take that material, and we have precedent in the Word of God, that material actually takes in that presence and that power, and it actually carries it to another location, and then it comes out when it makes contact with that which it was created to be in. Did you hear what I just said? The power knows when to come out. It comes out when it was laid on another human body, but because it knows the power was designed to be facilitated in a human body to begin with. So you are full of the Spirit of God, and you every time you can just, I mean, you don't need to preach to people. You can just go by and lay hands on them and encourage them and shake their hand, lay hands on the shoulder, pat them on the back, just leave it there a little longer than normal. And this guy ain't going to let me go. He wants more of the power. Give me the power, man. Give me the power. What happens when we start changing our face and point our expectations into things like that? I promise you the Spirit of God will facilitate your expectation. And you'll find that this local church grows. It not only grows, it explodes because He's found a home that He can show out. But He's found a home that celebrates His presence. Not just in the four walls, but we celebrate His presence out there. And you'll find that the more we learn how to live this lifestyle, you'll find that all of a sudden, people's opinions, it doesn't even occur to you anymore. It's like it's not even you anymore. And that's when you'll really find that His presence begins to flow even more. When you step over into that place and just let it go. In these last days, folks, that's what the local churches will look like. Again, I don't know what it'll look like. There's mindsets that say stay out of the big buildings. That's not for me to decide. That's not for you to decide either. My Father's very efficient. And we need to learn how to stop trying to manage things that are comfortable for us. What if He wants to do both? Like I said, I want to have 600 home fellowships in this city, in these cities alone. With everybody functioning like I just talked about. What do you think is going to happen in these cities? They're going to come back to the God they belong to in the first place. And it's not going to be a fight, a struggle, because people will get to view firsthand the presence and the power of God. Now, the ones that are demonically bent, yeah, get, but you know, you might as well just forget it, because you're going to lose. But it's not that kind of a battle. In this letter, 1 Thessalonians, it's interesting. He says to make sure those that are not in their rightful place of battle, make sure you come alongside of them and encourage them. And I want you to understand this morning, that's exactly what the Spirit of God just did to you. You are not who you think you are. You are who He says you are. And I don't say that to be theory. I say that because it is true, and He's trying to show you that. It'll get to the place, folks, that you'll have such manifestations of the Spirit of God come out of you that when you get back to your house, you'll literally fall on the floor and cry. Because you never dreamed that you would see the things you're seeing with your own eyes. But every time He does that, He's just reinforcing, as Colossians says, when my life appears, you need to understand that what's appearing is not just my life, it's your life. Because this is really who you are. So He's bringing us into this reality. He's bringing us into this culture. And he's got thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of other individuals that He wants to raise to the same level of maturity that are going to be a part of this church. Some of those folks will be responsible for our children. And we want our children to be trained how to come up into this level too. It just keeps reciprocating over and over and over again. The children go into the schools. And they play what they do. They play games that they play. But the only difference is when they touch their friend. Give another dose. When they touch their friend, something happens. Let's shift our expectation towards the presence of Him and Him being the biggest one in the room, any room. And I promise you, He'll fulfill that expectation. And you'll find that as you go, that whatever smallness tried to lodge up inside of your soul that became a comfortable place, you will realize, you know, when I was snorkeling in the middle of the ocean, it's not your swimming pool. The swimming pool is comfortable for me. I don't care if it's 10 feet, I'll go. You can't do that in the ocean. Especially when the bottom is 150 feet down. He wants to come take us to a place where we live inside of Him to where the smallness that we were comfortable with is no longer our safe place. We don't care. We just want to swim with Him. We don't care if there's no bottom. We don't pay attention to where there's not. We only pay attention to where we're going and what He's doing around us. I'm telling you, you have never seen the presence of God, and you've never seen a church grow and explode like you're going to see Best Life Church grow and explode. Simply because He got the Egypt out of us. And He shifted our expectation to expect Him to do the wildest, craziest, naturally speaking, things that we've never even thought about. And we let Him do it because we cooperated with instructions. Amen? Did you guys get anything out of this? Father, we just thank You and praise You. We thank You for Your presence. And Father, I thank You that as I laid hands and we made contact, as a point of contact, our hands touching, we thank You that You are developing. As sure as that contact was made, You're developing each of these individuals to move in You, to set their expectation in You. And like Paul told the church in Thessalonica, we are children of light. Nothing takes us by surprise. And I thank You for it. Nothing takes us by surprise. We're children of light and we're children of life. And we thank You for moving us in those directions, and we love You and praise You. And everybody said, amen. 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 Well, awesome. Again, I thank you guys for everybody doing their part last week.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.